ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Defence Minister has condemned the conduct of a Chinese military jet which released flares in front of and above an Australian Royal Australian Navy Seahawk helicopter. The incident occurred on Saturday night above international waters off the coast of South Korea and forced the Seahawk crew to take evasive measures. In September last year, several Australian Navy divers were injured by sonar pulses from a Chinese warship off the coast of Japan. Jennifer Parker served in the Royal Australian Navy for 20 years and is now an adjunct fellow at the University of New South Wales and an expert associate at the ANU's National Security College. Jennifer, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally. Thanks for having me on.
How dangerous was this incident from what we know?
Yeah, look, it is incredibly dangerous. So if the helicopter had have ingested one of the flares into its engine, it could have shut down the engines on the helicopter. And we could have seen the helicopter need to ditch with potential injuries or loss of life. So this isn't normal by any stretch of the imagination.
Do we know why the pilot of the Chinese jet would take this action? Is this standing orders of operation for the Chinese, or is it a decision that an individual pilot makes? How does that happen?
Look, certainly it's got to be beyond a decision of an individual pilot. So there is a history of the Chinese Air Force taking this kind of action in international waters. In fact, the Pentagon released late last year up to 200 incidents that occurred between September 21 and September 23, where Chinese Air Force jets had unsafe interactions with US Air Force and Navy jets, including launching flares in front of them. And we did see in 2022, when an Australian Maritime Patrol aircraft, a P-8, was operating in the South China Sea, that a Chinese aircraft did a similar thing, launching flares in front of its engine. So it's clearly a tactic of the Chinese Air Force. Exactly why they chose to do it is unclear at this stage.
Is it a breach of international law?
Look, I would interpret it as a breach of international law. So not only do we have the right of freedom of navigation, which is the right to navigate our ships in international waters, you also have a right of freedom of overflight. And the aircraft that was taking action to enforce UN sanctions against North Korea was conducting itself within international law. Impeding its flight path, I would interpret as a breach of international law.
What does this mean for relations between China and Australia, particularly at the government level?
Look, I think it just highlights that, you know, there has been a lot of conversation last year after the Chinese foreign minister's visit to Australia that the relationship had stabilised. And a lot of people, including myself, have been at pains to highlight that whilst the diplomatic and the economic relationship may have stabilised from where it was, from a military perspective, China is still being incredibly aggressive in the region, and not just towards Australia. We saw last week Chinese vessels water cannoning Philippines government vessels in the vicinity of Scarborough Shoal, which is a low tide elevation that sits right within the Philippines exclusive economic zone. So we do know that China's aggressive behaviour in the region has not changed. And this is despite repercharges from obviously the Australian government. We had the ASEAN-Australian dialogue in March in Australia, where the foreign minister from Australia was very clear on China's behaviour in the region. In fact, last week we had the Australian Chief of Navy in China with a bilateral meeting with the Chinese Head of Navy as part of the Western Pacific Naval Symposium, and he highlighted how concerned he was about China's approach to Toowoomba in November last year, where China's destroyer radiated some Australian divers, causing injuries. So this has been raised a number of times. At the government level, it just reiterates that this view that the relationship with China is stabilising from a military sense is just not true.
What does it mean for the Australian crews on the ships and in the air? Has further training needed to be put in place to deal with these kind of scenarios, which it looks like can unfold in a very rapid and unpredictable manner?
Look, I suspect it has. Certainly we know that Australian ships operating in, you know, both the South China Sea and East Asia have been harassed by Chinese ships for a very long time. This isn't a new incident. It is good to see that the Australian government has now taken the decision to release incidents like this. I think it's important that the public is aware. But this sort of thing has been happening for a very long time. So certainly Australian women and men operating up there would be taking more training to understand how the Chinese military are operating and also looking at their safety procedures. But, you know, we can't rely on, you know, the extreme professionalism of our women and men in the ADF. This certainly needs to be raised further. I note that Richard Marles had commented on TV yesterday that he had raised this, or that the Australian government had raised this formally with China. But really, I think we need to look into our dual diplomatic toolkit and understand what is next. How do we escalate our responses without generating a military escalation?
Jennifer Parker, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ali.
It's Jennifer Parker there, served in the Royal Australian Navy for 20 years and now is adjunct fellow at the University of New South Wales and an expert associate at the ANU's National Security College, talking about news which broke yesterday about a Chinese jet deploying flares near a Royal Australian Navy helicopter.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.